True North has something truly fast and friendly. Introducing the True Rewards mobile app. Sign up to get instant access to member-only offers and in-store coupons. As a True Rewards member, track your club status, find a store, and redeem exclusive offers all in one place. Join today and save 25 cents per gallon on your first fill-up and save 5 cents every day. Savings are stackable with Shell Fuel Rewards. Download now from the Apple or Google Play stores. True North Convenience Stores and True Rewards. Fast, friendly, clean.
Thanks to TikTok ads, I was able to open up a business with my childhood friend and even hire employees.
My name is Julian, and I am one of the founders of The Snacks Lab. We are an exotic snack company. We import snacks from all over the world. We had over $100,000 in sales from our TikTok ads in the first month. So our orders went from 5 a day to over 250 orders a day. You definitely have to use TikTok ads.
TikTok for Business is helping owners like you reach new customers every day. Head over to getstarted.tiktok.com/TikTok ads.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
This is an Odyssey original.
This is Coronavirus Daily World on Pause. I'm Charles Feldman in the KNX Odyssey Studios in Los Angeles.
And I'm Mike Simpson. Vaccines now available across the country. Anybody 12 and older who wants one, almost everyone get a shot within a few miles of home. Plenty of doses, but despite all of that, there are disparities still, especially here in LA County, where most Black and Latino people have not yet gotten a shot. We'll look into why.
One county in Northern California getting serious about checking and verifying vaccination records. We will explain.
Farmers have had a rough go of it, too. We'll check in with a farming expert to see how those farmers are bouncing back.
Let's start with vaccines and race. Dr. Sandra Hernandez is president and CEO of the California Healthcare Foundation. Doctor, is the gap closing in LA County at all, like in other parts of the country?
I think there are some good indications that it's closing in LA County. There was a new Kaiser Foundation analysis today that over the last 2 weeks, for example, over half of the first doses of COVID-19 vaccines have gone to people of color. Latinos represent about 70% of the population, but account for about 24% of the first doses, again, in the last 2 weeks. So I think there's some promising indications that we are beginning to reach communities that have poorer access and who, for work reasons and mixed immigration status reasons and just the convenience and availability is limited. And I think we're working super hard to reduce those barriers.
Yeah. What more needs to be done? We've talked plenty of times about, you know, you got to go out into the communities. We have all these sites. There's hundreds of them in LA County that are, you know, not at Dodger Stadium anymore. So what barriers do you still need to get through?
Well, think about it. I mean, it's great. Dodger Stadium is great for mass vaccines. Transportation is an issue. Public transit is still, for many people, not safe. People are just now getting back into jobs and work, and to then have to be able to go and get a vaccine, and importantly, to get a second vaccine where people have now heard and know that some people in a second vaccine feel quite ill for a day or two. Can you, when you've just started back in the workforce, turn around and be able to stay home if you're sick or not feeling well after a second dose? So I think issues like that are still access issues. There is still misinformation out there. There's no question about that. And then we have a digital divide that we are still trying to close. And so where do you get an appointment and how do you schedule that appointment? And if you're on a phone with limited data access or the data got cut off because you didn't pay your phone bill, all those are systemic challenges that we need to just intentionally reduce and overcome. And I think in general, we should also recognize that we're now reaching out to vaccinate younger people. And really important that, you know, we know from vaccine take-up rates that getting a mother to get vaccinated has a lot to do with whether or not you can get a child vaccinated.
Yeah,
so we really need to focus on women.
Yeah, I was going to ask you, because we had a segment on a few days ago, you know, the issue of parents who are, in some cases, they're hesitant to get vaccinated themselves, and so they kind of pass that hesitancy on to their children. In other cases, they've gotten vaccinated, but they're still worried about their kids. How much of an issue is that with parents to convince them that their kids need to be vaccinated, despite perhaps maybe their own feelings about it?
Yeah, well, I think, you know, one of the things that we should look forward to in the next month or two will be what the schools will do. Because certainly if a requirement, you know, is that children be vaccinated in order to enroll in schools, I'm very confident that whatever hesitancy there might be, that will be overcome significantly in order to make sure that individual young people can enroll in schools.
We're also kind of in a race against the clock, right? Because there's still plenty of people moving about right now. Things are pretty open in the yellow tier, but we've got less than a month until it's the, you know, grand reopening of California. So that's a lot of opportunity to be mixing and mingling. And if you don't have your vaccine, you could find yourself in a, you know, troubling situation.
That's right. I think it is a big push between now and the middle of next month. I think the progress that we're seeing in reducing these barriers is very promising. You know, again, we should be very mindful that we not attribute hesitancy as some sort of uniform point of view. There are people who are legitimately waiting for these vaccines to be not under emergency use, to actually be FDA approved. That for a lot of people will mean reducing some of the concerns about, you know, how quickly these vaccines came to market. We really need to listen to folks who are inclined, but either for access reasons or structural reasons, or just wanting more information to feel comfortable to vaccinate their kids or to vaccinate, you know, their young daughters, whatever it might be.
What sort of misinformation, you mentioned that, is out there that we could perhaps demystify?
Well, I'll give you a concrete example. I staffed a couple of these vaccine clinics back a month or so ago when we were doing, you know, all day vaccine clinics here in the Bay Area. A Latina woman, Spanish woman, came in for her vaccine. She's probably, I'm guessing, in her late 50s. You know, we were doing one patient right after another, very fast pace. And she kind of whispered to me, you know, I have an 18-year-old daughter at home. I, you know, it doesn't matter to me that I'm not going to have any more children, but I want to make sure she's not infertile from these vaccines. Should I worry about that? And what I said, I pulled her aside because, you know, we were in a, you know, we were moving people through pretty quickly. And just stopped to hear her concern legitimately. I mean, what I said to her there is, I have an 18-year-old daughter, and she came in this morning and she got vaccinated. And I can tell you, we wouldn't do that if we didn't think these were safe. And, you know, it was just looking into her eyes and hearing her legitimate concern. There are all kinds of misinformation out there. And her daughter came in. I think, you know, it's a very small example of what we really need to be able to do is not pass judgment and certainly not pass blame and recognize that we need to take these concerns and hear them and address them for where they come from.
All right. Dr. Sandra Hernandez, President, CEO of the California Healthcare Foundation. Doctor, thanks.
Santa Clara County is just south of San Francisco in California. It's getting serious about figuring out who is and who is not vaccinated as businesses open back up.
Yeah, they want the businesses to determine the status of the workers. It's a requirement now. James Williams, Council of Santa Clara County. So, James, this isn't telling people they have to get the shot, right? It's just asking the businesses, the employers, to go and check and then mark it down.
Yeah, that's exactly right. This is not a vaccine mandate. It doesn't require that people get vaccinated. What it is a requirement that employers find out the vaccination status of their employees And that's important for a number of reasons, including because a lot of basic safety rules are different if you're vaccinated or unvaccinated. For example, if you're a close contact to a case, you do not need to quarantine if you are fully vaccinated.
So it is kind of a backdoor way, isn't it, to get people to be vaccinated, because it can impact, depending upon what you report back to your employer, it can have an impact on the way you do your job and where you're positioned on your job, that sort of thing.
Well, and, you know, we've got some basic safety rules in place, right, related to COVID-19, just as is true for other things in the workplace. And it's going to be the case that if you don't have the protection of a vaccine, that there are additional steps that need to be taken to keep you safe and to keep others who might be unvaccinated for whatever reason safe in the workplace. And so that's important information to have. It's going to be important for employers to have that so that they can actually adhere to those rules, whether it's the isolation quarantine requirements or what may happen in the future with face covering requirements, you know, the CDC's guidance around vaccinated versus unvaccinated persons needing to wear masks indoors, for example, you know, that what that will look like after June 15th. You know, those are going to be very important considerations, and this will help people find out. We do allow folks to decline to state their status, but then they'll be treated as unvaccinated for those important safety precautions.
Is this kind of getting ahead of what the other workplace rules will kind of be as we move open? You mentioned that there are going to be changes, like you won't have to quarantine yourself if you had a vaccine and you were exposed, but other things too, like if you've got an office now that's really socially distanced, but you want to bring people back and get the call center going or have the sales pit like it used to look, if everybody's got their vaccines and you know, then maybe the social distancing requirements kind of fall off the board.
Yes, you know, there's some rules in place today. So the quarantine requirement that I mentioned, you know, that's in place right now. Fully vaccinated folks don't need to quarantine if they have been exposed to somebody who has COVID-19. But that's obviously not the case if you're not fully vaccinated. And others, I think, will be changing. Cal OSHA has proposed regulations that'll be taken up soon that have a lot of things that look different depending on whether you are in an environment where people are fully vaccinated or not. That's obviously the true for CDC's face masking guidance, which, you know, hasn't yet been adopted in California, but I think is something that is probably likely to occur. And so I think we'll see more and more of that. It's certainly already true. This isn't for the workplace, but it's already true under California's blueprint rules for events where the capacity rules and the masking rules and the social distancing rules look different at events, depending on whether people are fully vaccinated or not. We know that the best thing you can do to be safe, the most effective thing, is vaccination. And all the data that keeps coming in just makes that more and more resoundingly clear.
So am I guessing correctly that a lot of businesses are probably grateful for the county or county doing this, because it kind of gives them cover, doesn't it?
Well, you know, I think a lot of folks have been, you know, wanting this. I think, frankly, it's going to be also comforting for a lot of employees returning back who maybe haven't been on site throughout the pandemic. But, you know, what we wanted to make sure in part is that there was, you know, that this was happening on a consistent basis throughout the community. You know, we have done great in Santa Clara County on vaccination. Of our age 16 plus population, over 75% with one shot, 60% already fully vaccinated. And so, you know, we're doing outstanding as a community. And, you know, we certainly hope that more folks will get vaccinated. And, you know, this will be an opportunity maybe to help get people some information on that if they're interested. But, you know, important safety rules are going to turn on it, and this will help keep our community safe.
It still is a personal decision at the end of the day, though. So I'm wondering, let's say you got an office of 20 people and two didn't get the vaccine, and now those two have to say that they didn't, or they're mum on the issue, but then they're treated like they didn't. So now those two are way apart from everybody else for obvious reasons, and now they feel ostracized, or they get ostracized from the rest of the office.
Well, you know, for years, we've had a rule in Santa Clara County in the healthcare sector where if you didn't get a flu vaccine, you had to wear a mask. We've had that for several years now. And, you know, many people, of course, would get their flu vaccine and some didn't, and they would wear a mask. And, you know, people made that choice, but it helped keep everyone in that environment safer, helped keep employees safer, and helped keep, in that context, patients safer. And I think that's the goal here, too. It's not to force people to get a vaccine, but it's to make sure that we're keeping everyone safe, whether you've been vaccinated or not.
Well, of course, we're a very, as you know, litigious society. Are you taking any bets when the first lawsuit hits you?
Well, you know, I don't ever make predictions about those things, but I'll say that, you know, this is a far cry from anything that's a vaccine mandate. And I also would say, you know, we're not collecting this information as the county. So businesses and entities need to do this ascertainment for their staff and, you know, be able to have those records. But they're not submitting any of those, you know, to us at the county. And we feel quite comfortable with this as a really appropriate, modest step to take, and also an important step as we move forward with what we hope is the final stages of this pandemic, fingers crossed. But, you know, with the efficacy of the vaccines, I think we're all, in the words of our own health officer yesterday, feeling optimistic.
James Williams, County Counsel for Santa Clara. James. Thanks.
Coming up after this short break, are farmers recovering too? The hope is that the pandemic is winding down, but when it started, farmers faced several challenges.
Delaware Valley University horticulture professor Jacqueline Ricotta talks to KYW's Matt Leon about how farmers are coming out of this.
There has been a huge demand for locally grown produce, and I believe that demand is continuing because people are finding that it is a reliable source of food at a fair price, and that it's fresh and tasty and healthy for everyone. So I think there's a silver lining to everything that had to be done at the beginning of the pandemic for farms to begin selling their products.
What were the biggest challenges of the last year? Because I know we spoke to people, supply chain issues, labor issues because of, you know, the virus and people being taken out of rotation, stuff like that. What were some of the things you were hearing, you know, boots on the ground, the big problems over the last year?
So there's always an issue with labor in local agriculture. So that's a consistent thing. But one of the biggest things was farms had to, and I'll use that term pivot that everybody seems to use during the pandemic, but it really was true. They had to change, and everybody had to start up with an ordering system for many of the farms that sold at farmers markets. So that they, rather than a customer going to a farmer's market and browsing and picking out their head of lettuce, now the customer had to log in and choose, you know, I'll have three heads of lettuce and I'll have one bunch of beets and I'll have two bunches of radishes. And then many of the farms would package that up. And when you went to the farmer's market, you got a bag of produce as opposed to choosing what you want. So that was probably the biggest change. And I think many of the farms found that it worked fairly well and it kept their customers consistently coming back. There also, I think many farms realized they needed to be producing more. The demand was high during the pandemic, especially think back to that March 2020 timeframe when store shelves were empty and all we heard about was supply chain. Local producers all had product. One farmer up in Upper Bucks County said his store was busier than it had ever been because nobody wanted to go to the grocery store. They wanted to go to a small local market that had produce, local products, and they began stocking some of the daily essentials that people wanted. So for them, it was really an advantage. And I think that's continued because everyone realizes that you can count on these local producers to come through, whereas you can't, you know, you never know from day to day what's going to happen with the pandemic in the grocery store, although it seems pretty good at this point.
One of the things that really, you know, I've learned a lot doing all these podcasts over the last year, but I don't think there was anything I've learned more about than farming and agriculture, because I was guilty of being one of those people that it's always on the shelf and I'll get it and I don't think too hard into how it got from A to B. But now I'm fascinated with the whole process. One of the things that was really eye-opening was we talked to a handful of farmers, I don't know, maybe this time last year, and the problem that they were experiencing that I never would have guessed with 100 guesses was with packaging, because everything had gone from, you know, half individual, half restaurants and stuff like that. All of a sudden, everything was in the individual, and they didn't have the packaging available to quote you, pivot, and it was really causing problems. And you never think that stuff's packaged differently for restaurants because it's bulk than it is for markets and stuff like that. Was there any problem once you adjust to that, coming out of that and getting back to where you were before? Had you heard anything about that? And is packaging any kind of an issue here as we're trying to come out of the pandemic?
I don't believe it is, because I think that farms are realizing that there are multiple revenue streams these days, that they, you know, there's an increasing demand at restaurants, again, because people realize how fresh and healthy local produce is. And so I think if they've made the change from selling to restaurants and small purveyors to selling to individuals, I think many of the farms are going to continue to do that. And I think there's lots and lots of creative packaging out there. And I think as we open up, farmers markets are going to continue to be an increase in their popularity, because it's somewhere that you can go. It's outdoors. It's enjoyable. It's on a nice day. It's really fun. Most farmers markets tend to have music and, you know, it's just a very good vibe. And so I think that once again, local farms are going to continue with the multiple revenue streams and try to increase their production as much as possible, because the demand is there.
Yeah, to that point, do you think for the most part people are prepared? Because I don't see that market, that individual market, going anywhere. But I think this summer is going to be bonkers for people going out and throwing money at restaurants and stuff like that. So is there any concern that will they be able to keep up with that demand? Because I think it's going to be heavy.
I agree with you. I think everybody's going to be wanting to go out. And locally, we can always use more farms and more local food. That's one of the things that's really interesting, is that it's the majority of the products that we pick up in a grocery store have come to us on average from thousands of miles, you know, California, Florida. There's a limited number of local farms. Certainly the USDA and Delaware Valley University has tried to promote, you know, farming as a viable career. And there are grants available and become educated and get a college degree in it. But there's always room for more local farms, whether it's produce, whether it's dairy, or whether it's meat. The demand for local grass-fed meat is like through the roof, because people are once again, you know, realizing how healthy it is, how important it is to support the local economy, and just it tastes better.
The Philippines isn't messing around when it comes to vaccines. It's no longer allowing local governments to announce which brand of coronavirus vaccines will be available at inoculation sites. One report says people yesterday lined up outside the Manila Prince Hotel as early as 2 a.m. for a chance to get one of the 900 Pfizer jabs that the local government announced could be given to walk-ins. Now, the mayor says the preference for the Pfizer vaccine may have been why people chose that specific site out of the nearly 20 in the city. Health experts say that people waiting out higher efficacy vaccines, along with rampant misinformation and bad messaging, has led to vaccine hesitancy in the country. It has 7 vaccines available. One official says from now on, only people already in line at a vaccination site will be told which shot they'll get. And if they don't like the vaccines that are given during that time, then they can go to the end of the line.
This is an Odyssey original. You can find us on the Odyssey app, Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, and Stitcher.
Has something truly fast and friendly. Introducing the True Rewards mobile app. Sign up to get instant access to member-only offers and in-store coupons. As a True Rewards member, track your club status, find a store, and redeem exclusive offers all in one place. Join today and save 25 cents per gallon on your first fill-up and save 5 cents every day. Savings are stackable with Shell Fuel Rewards. Download now from the Apple or Google Play stores. True North Convenience Stores and True Rewards. Fast, friendly, clean.
Thanks to TikTok ads, I was able to open up a business with my childhood friend and even hire employees. My name is Julian, and I am one of the founders of the Snacks Lab. We are an exotic snack company. We import snacks from all over the world. We had over $100,000 in sales from our TikTok ads in the first month. So our orders went from 5 a day to over 250 orders a day. You definitely have to use TikTok ads.
TikTok for Business is helping owners like you reach new customers every day. Head over to getstarted.tiktok.com/TikTok ads.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
You're jamming your favorite song, and while you aren't missing a beat, you could be missing a signal from your body. It's an SOS from your kidneys, and it doesn't sound like music at all. It's silent. High blood pressure, type 2 diabetes, and other risk factors can quietly stress the kidneys, leading to negative impacts on the heart. That's why you should ask your doctor about a simple urine test called UACR. Most miss the signal for hidden kidney disease and related heart risk. You shouldn't. Visit DetectTheSOS.com today to learn more.